On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Kickoff with Michael Thompson, Neil Simons, and Clem Tito.
Thank you so much for that, Brucey. Really appreciate it. Welcome, everyone, to the first Kickoff edition of 2022. We're back after a short 2 week sabbatical. We were supposed to be on air last week, but due to health and safety protocols, I'll mention very, very shortly, we were not on, but we've got a big show today. We're going to be joined by Team Football's Campbell Johnson after calling the Adelaide-Melbourne City women's game last night at a Cooper Stadium as part of that doubleheader. We're going to be joined by Kick360's Tom Williams as well to talk about what's happening. And we also might get his opinions on a few of the big A-League stories happening around too. The transfer market is in full swing too, as always, which is good to see. A couple of new signings too, especially one that started for Adelaide United last night against Melbourne City. And we're going to be talking as well about the NPL and NPLW as the seasons are only 4 to 6 weeks away. But joining me, Neil Simon's not here this week. He's got a few other things on his plate this week, but he'll be back next week. But welcoming him for the very first time in 2022, the great Clem Tito. Clem, good morning.
Good morning, Tomo. How you going?
Going well, yourself?
Yeah, going awesome. Can't complain. Keen to chat some football.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, last week we were going to have a show. Neil and I were going to come in, but much like a lot of people at this point in time, I got diagnosed with COVID-19. So unfortunately, last week's show did not happen too. And thank you again to Colin Tyres for getting me to jump on for a chat with him on a Newsman and his music last Monday morning, just to have a chat about that one. But I'm feeling a little bit better too, Clem. I know that you had an asymptomatic bout with COVID mid of last year when you were over in Europe, and it's it knocks you down a bit, doesn't it?
I was one of the lucky ones that was asymptomatic, as he said, so I literally didn't feel a thing. And you obviously had to isolate for 10 days, which were the rules at that point in the UK. So I guess I was, from one perspective, lucky that to not have symptoms. But yeah, it was a bit annoying having to sit in a room for 10 days. But for the sake of not spreading it, it was a bit of inconvenience. But I got through it, and it was one of the lucky ones for sure.
So we're going to start talking a little bit about the games that happened last night. It was only two games because of all the continuation of the cancellations of the competitions due to the ongoing Omicron variant, which is tearing through not only, as Bruce would be alluding to in his show earlier, with basketball and hoops for both the men's and the women's, but also it's been tearing through the A-League men's and A-League women's. And Campbell will be giving us a little bit of his opinions on that one too. But the games that did happen last night were a 2-2 draw, thrilling 2-2 draw between Adelaide United and Melbourne City. They've been really good the last couple of weeks, have Adelaide United. They've really stood up against the top teams. And then a very lonely 1-1 draw between Sydney FC and Brisbane Roar as well in the men's. And 1-0 win to Melbourne City in the women's, and a 6-0 win for Sydney FC against Canberra United as well in the A-League women's too, which we'll touch on a little bit later on too. But probably the biggest news to come out of the game between Adelaide United and Melbourne City was just the fact that Adelaide were able to sort of come back again in good fashion, did it against Melbourne Victory as well when Craig Goodwin kicked that equaliser in one of the weirdest 10 minutes of football we saw about 7 days ago, Clem. But Hiroshi Ibushi, who's come over from Adelaide United, Japanese striker, he was the one who was the main guy who got the 1 point there for Adelaide United, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting for Adelaide United. And I've noticed that they're getting a fair bit of free-to-air coverage this season, which is really good. I feel like every time I'm putting Channel 10 on, it's Adelaide United. But as you said, the Japanese man, getting the crucial equaliser in the end. He has such a good pedigree and has played for plenty of clubs over in the J League as well. So not quite hit the international level. Played for the juniors, but showing what he can give in the A League as well. It was an action packed game. Obviously, we saw Nuno Reis red carded pretty late, and maybe you could argue that probably, shifted the momentum a bit to get that equaliser. But it was an action-packed game. And I think Melbourne City game specifically, they seem to get a lot of, action-packed games, I think, especially at Amy Park. So, for the reigning champions, they're certainly the league's entertainers, in my opinion.
Andrew Naboot, starting at the start with Melbourne City, scoring in the 24th minute, cancelled out by George Blackwood, striking the 60th. Jamie McLaren 6 minutes later, as we see Reyes getting sent off in the 70th minute. And then we mentioned as well, Bouski getting that goal in the 84th minute too. So for Adelaide, they've really started to pick off a lot of these teams as well. And they're starting to pick up some crucial points in this part as well, which is, you would say now, it's a very important time for Adelaide United to maybe get these easy 1 points against the teams like Victory, Sydney and Melbourne City as well.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the ones that are actually kind of in front of the eight ball in terms of games played. So I think it's very important for them to, you know, as you said, get these points on the board, because, you know, everyone will be looking to them. They're sitting seventh at the moment, but at the moment it's a bit of a weird one. You can say that the table isn't really a reflection of anything because you've got so many uneven games played. So, yeah, Adelaide, as you said, you know, playing against the top dogs, and, you know, they managed to steal a point away at Amy Park, which Melbourne City will probably be, you know, kicking themselves a bit, being, you know, where they're at in their time. Like, that they probably should have iced that game, but obviously they went a man down with 20 minutes to go, which didn't help.
And I think with City as well, they've had a really shaky start to their title defence too. And so is Sydney FC too, because those two were probably the two perennial teams that you would look at the start and go, well, these two are definitely going to be making finals too. But they've had a real slow start to this season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, you always... It's been a bit of a narrative in the last couple of seasons where it's Melbourne City and, you know, Sydney FC. It's the tale of the two sky blue teams. So it'll be interesting going forward. I think maybe from a neutral perspective, it's been quite monotonous in the last couple of seasons, but now we're looking forward. It's good to see, you know, the two expansion teams doing well, first and foremost, with obviously MacArthur still just with the one loss so far this season, and they're sort of travelling pretty well, MacArthur as well. So I'm liking how, you know, we're seeing a bit of a different sort of different feel at the top table. And even Central Coast these days are doing well as well. So it's pretty from a neutral perspective of what I'm trying to say. I guess it's not the worst thing seeing City and Sydney sort of slump a little bit.
And then the other game that happened last night too at Jubilee Stadium was between Sydney FC and Brisbane Roar. Anthony Caceres getting off the mark in the 34th minute, capped out by Milicic's goal in the 40th minute. Turn in. Really nothing in the second half from both sides either. And from the Brisbane Roar again, and they've been criticised over the last sort of couple of years too. I know there was a patch where they were playing some entertaining football, but from time to time, the Brisbane Roar just play really bland football, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, they've certainly been that way probably in the last couple of years. I can definitely agree with you, which is a little bit disappointing considering they were such a, I guess, powerhouse literally a decade ago, exactly 10 years ago. It's an interesting one since Ange left. That they haven't really sort of been able to regain that sort of Raw Salona, and that's a big throwback nickname as well.
Absolutely,
probably showing you know how early I was in the A League circles, but you know, regaining that sort of that feel to them. But yeah, as well as, you know, it's their kind of a little bit not to their any fault of their own, but just in the situation with the virus, they're finding themselves way behind everyone else with the games played. So, as I said before, it's not a true reflection, but they haven't won a game yet in all five games they've played. So, but again, going all the way to Jubilee Stadium, stealing a point off, you know,
a still
Sydney
a big
FC
win.
Team. Yeah, with, you know, a lot of championship players in that squad, Socceroos in that squad. You've got World Cup players in that squad. So it's not the worst thing to steal a point from Sydney FC over there.
I want to mention too, really quickly before we take our first break, Matthew Leckie has been under the microscope the last couple of weeks too, and hasn't really sort of gelled into this Melbourne City lineup. Now, there was a lot of hype surrounding him like a week before the grand final, as we know, Clem. And yet, it just hasn't sort of come to fruition for City fans right now. I know he's been criticised quite heavily on social media.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, because you think, like, straight away, you know, it's Matthew Leckie, you know, two-time World Cup appearance for Australia, and he's played, you know, he's played in Europe, and wait, yeah. So it's not the first time we've kind of, I guess, seen it happen. In the A-League when we've had a couple of sort of big signings. But, you know, he's still, I guess, like, from Melbourne City fans' perspective, he has, he had a pretty good game, I think, yesterday, which we'll talk about soon, Tomo. But, yeah, as you said, like, you probably would have thought maybe he would have been talked about more, considering his reputation. But I thought last night he really stepped it up.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully for Matthew Lecky, he can sort of try and find now that form heading into the second half of the season too. And what we can try and hopefully try and salvage from this season too, because we've seen now about four games get cancelled over the course of this week as well. We were supposed to have the F3 derby, which a lot of people were looking forward to watching yesterday between Central Coast and Newcastle. And again, this is Omicron's taken over as well. Perth Glory was supposed to play late last night. Melbourne Victory was supposed to play today as well. It's wreaked havoc across the league, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. And going forward, it might be good to ask Campbell what he thinks, but yeah, they have to find some sort of solution. I don't know what that is, whether it's bringing in NPL players, just signing them. But I know with the rules, you know, regarding injury replacements, but they've got to find some way to keep everything going where you can't have teams playing 9 games and then other teams playing 5.
Yeah,
you
know, it's just, especially when teams are going to have to play more and teams are playing less as well at this point in time, because there's a few teams now that haven't been on the pitch, they haven't played games in 2, 3, 4 weeks now. You sort of got to think how the body's going. Are they still constantly training or are they still locked up in isolation? Do they actually get to go to their local grounds to just keep their fitness up, or what's the catch?
Yeah, they've got to find some sort of way, and I think a lot to do with it isn't even football. Like, it'll be, I guess, because as we know, different states have different rules, which doesn't always, you know, it's not going to be something that, yeah, that's going to stack up easily against each other. And then, you know, going forward, things are rapidly changing as well. So
it's got the WA government too, which is still close its borders too, which is not making life easier for any of the sporting codes either.
No, exactly. And they don't have the Ashes at the moment. And it's been pretty crazy with that, from that perspective. You know, you're either in or out of WA kind of situation. So yeah, hopefully, you know, come Feb, things will come next month. Things will sort of chill a little bit.
hopefully things do subside for the sake of
The more formal way of saying it.
Yeah. So hopefully, when they do subside, they'll be really good. So we'll take a short break now. We'll talk a little bit about the FFA Cup. We're also going to talk about the NPL Victoria and NPLW. And then after 10 o'clock, we've got Campbell Johnson from Team Football to join us to chat about last night's A League Women's game too. We're going to talk about the Brisbane Roar Women's team in a bit more detail, and we're also going to be chained to him about a bit more other things too. And we're going to be joined by Tom Williams from Kick360 as well to see what's coming up on their website this coming week. This is Kickoff for your Sunday morning here on Southern FM. Clem Tito, Michael Thompson with you, back very, very shortly.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Kickoff for your Sunday morning here on 88.3 Southern FM. Clem Tito back in the chair. Michael Thompson with you as well. First show of 2022. And we've got a big year ahead as well. The A-League is in full swing in some capacity, Clem, as always. But we've also got the local leagues coming back in the next 4 to 6 weeks, which we're very, very excited about. We'll touch on very, very shortly. But Matthew Lecky, we spoke about him before the break, but you've got some news he actually did last night as well, post-game.
Yeah, so he's walked out of the, from what I've seen, he's walked out of the tunnel after the game, and two Adelaide United fans were asking for his kit, and then it was a bit of a, he said like, okay, we'll do rock, paper, scissors, and the fan won it, and yeah, he's apparently he's gone straight to the pub with the kit on straight after the game. So great gesture from Matthew Lecky.
That's incredible.
Yeah, hopefully Melbourne City can, you know, provide another kit. I'm sure they'll be able to.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got like tens and tens of hundreds of different jerseys with Matthew Lecky's name and number on the back. That's for sure. They've got the money for that.
Yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, this is a bit of a one that back in the journo days, I didn't divulge publicly, but when Dino Djulbic was signed by Melbourne Victory, when his first game, he was wearing a different shirt to all the other players, and it was Victory couldn't find a big enough kit, so they had to get a retail one.
Oh dear.
And at the time, we were told that, I reckon that enough time has passed, we can laugh about it now.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Now, moving on now, Clem, we're excited too, because one thing that we have generally done over the last couple of years is we've represented Football Victoria and calling a lot of games for NPL, NPLW, FFA Cup, FA Cup, Nike Cup, you name it, the whole shebang. 4 weeks away now until we get underway for the 2022 NPL season. Fortunately, the last 2 years have been interrupted due to COVID, so fingers crossed we can actually get a full season away this year.
Oh, yeah, I'd be very excited to get one, especially with you, Tomo, just back in the grandstand and calling games. Miss it as well, first and foremost. Yeah, it's been
close last year to finishing the season. So close.
You've got to wonder how a lot of those fit players are feeling as well, being out of the game, you know, essentially for 2 years. I mean, they got a little bit of games in last year, but
it's been pretty stop-starts over the last 2 years, and it's taken a massive strain on. I've spoken to a few clubs. It's taken a bit of a strain on them. We've spoken to a few players too, and that at times they've been very annoyed about having to stop games and having to do stuff in their own time. And thankfully, though, they've got the best people behind the scenes to give them strength and conditioning, like training programs, regimens, things that they can do in their own spare time too, to make sure that everything is continuing to go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just even the community vibes, you know, something to do on weekends for fans and just take their minds off, you know, what's sort of everyone's talking about on this globe for the last 2 years. I think we're all pretty sick of it now, to be honest. I think just not even that, just being able to go to a game and, you know, all of a sudden you're forgetting about everything. You're forgetting about your troubles and your everything going on in your life. You're fully focused on the football and helping the community. I think is it'll be cool for that to come back.
And we got a text message on 0404 000 736. Please contribute between now and 10:30. South Melbourne actually did play Mornington in a preseason friendly yesterday and won 7-0. I did see that on Ollie Walker-Peel, who's one of the journalists for Kick 360 and one of the up-and-coming commentators for the NPL. He went out there yesterday to watch that preseason friendly, and Marcus Schroen scored a hat-trick, and new signing Pat Langlois, a brace, Alan Rebb, and Christian Ingelis also got on the score sheet.
Yeah, well, and Marcus Schroen, I mean, he's been such a great sort of servant for them in so long. He's always played so consistently for them, and, you know, he's almost going to be like a big club legend for them, I reckon, by the end. You know, and just to come out and win 7-0, that's huge.
Yeah, it's a good way to kickstart your pre-season as well. Yeah. And go that we mean business this season. South Melbourne, they've picked up Andy Brennan, Pack Langlois. We've seen two from Hume City, so two major signings there, which would hurt Nick Hegarty's side just a little bit too, because they were really vital last season.
Yeah, for sure. And going forward, they'd have to be sort of in the mix and in contention for winning the whole thing, as you know, Tomo. And it'd be good to see them back up there as well next season. It's going to be a big season, to be honest, ahead. And I'm pretty pumped for it, to be honest.
Same here.
Just the fact that it's been so long as well, I feel.
At the moment, this is the round one fixture. And speaking of South Melbourne, they're kicking off the 2022 NPL Victoria season against their old rivals in Heidelberg United.
Oh, it's always always the one that you kind of just look forward to. And it's just like, as a neutral going to those games, it's so exciting considering, you know, there's so much like passion and sort of angst between both clubs. But they simply just don't like each other, Tomo, to be honest. So, and it was Dandy City and Knights playing first round.
Yeah, they are too. Frank Holohan Soccer Complex. So that's on the Friday night. Also on the Friday night too, Oakley Cannons. I do love the new logo too. I think it's to represent their bicentenary, or it's a big sort of, they've changed the logo for this season in particular. So Oakley are taking on Green Gully.
Yeah.
Which is going to be...
Is that at Oakley?
That is at Oakley too.
Yeah.
And we saw as well, former Victory player Josh Hope is signed with Green Gully for this season too.
Oh, that's huge news for Green Gully. And yeah, Josh Hope, I guess he couldn't quite sort of cement a real sort of career at the A-League, which is sad. I mean, he was you know, in the time that he was there, he was still, you know, getting a good run, especially under Muskie, when Muskie was there. And yeah, it's kind of, from his perspective, I guess he'll be sort of wanting to sort of showcase what he can do at this level so he can maybe get, you know, signed by another A-League club.
I think he got signed actually on his birthday to Green Gully too. So, because I saw a lot of praise on Twitter for Hope signing, which is really, really good. And for Green Gully too, that's a major signing too. It's something for them to sort of look forward to for this season.
Yeah, big time. And, you know, we will see them sort of back up there hopefully as well, Tomo.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on now to the games that are happening on the Saturday. There is four games on Avondale and Bentley, which should be really, really good. We know Avondale were on top as of the season completed, well, of the season stopping, I should say. So hopefully for them, Avondale, they really want to get their hand on that silverware too. So the only other team at this point in time, besides a Bentley or a Heidelberg, that I can really see giving South Melbourne a bit of headaches this season, it is always Avondale, because they've got a pretty strong and pretty stacked lineup.
Yeah, it's always every season, they're always sort of in that... sort of in that mix, and hopefully they can do well this season. It's always a fun drive getting out all the way there
to Avenger Park.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that'll be,
because they've been renovating it over the last couple of years too.
Yeah, so it's good considering, like, maybe I don't know if the situation's kind of maybe helped them sort of like actually improve it even more, considering there's no game, so they can work on it a bit more. But yeah, I'll be pretty keen to see for the final product.
Port Melbourne and St. Albans at JL Murphy Reserve on the Saturday night at 5:30 p.m. Danny Thunder in the Eastern Lions at 7 p.m. And a game which should be interesting. I'm looking forward to this one. Altona and Hume City out of Paisley Park at 7:30 as well on the 19th of Feb as well. I don't mind the drive down to Altona here and there too. A new Loza from way back when too, when he was down there too for Altona. They've got some new management too. And then Hume City, good friends of the show. Nick Hegarty's a very good friend of the show as well. We've had him on a couple of times. Mm. He's talked in lengths about, like, pretty much everything happening at the club too. He's sort of the guy that we go to pretty much, who can sort of give us the updates of what's happening with Hume City.
Yeah, big time. And as you were saying before, Tomo, we don't mind a good game at Altona. I'll be pretty excited to get back out there. It's always a good drive there. So, yeah, and Nick Hegarty, I know you have such a good relationship with him. So, and Lozzo as well.
It was a good conversation I had. But a little quick story here before we take another break. Nick Hegarty, so when I went to do the FFA Cup game up in Mombog, between Mombog and Hume City, the lights were playing up a little bit, and like Nick Hegarty just came back out onto the pitch, and it was like a 25 to 30 minute, it was half time, it was like 30 minutes long, 35 minutes long, because the lights just were not working at that point in time either. So it was more for Mombog's sake, they were hoping that the lights didn't go back on at that point in time, because at least they can sort of go, okay, let's try and see if we can get this game rescheduled because of bad lighting, this sort of thing. First person that came out of the tunnel was Nick Hegarty, and straight away he came over just to have a very long conversation with us about it. And we were just talking about the lights, and just said, I'm like, how's the team feeling, that sort of stuff that they want to get out of there. He's like, oh, mate, they're clamping the bits right now because of these lights. So that point in time, it was just, Nick and I were just having a good old chin wag for about 10 to 15 minutes before his players, and then Mombog's players also came out onto the pitch to continue the game after they ended up fixing the light situation out of Mombog. It's not a bad little drive up there either for Mombog as well. State League 2 team from memory.
Yeah, well, what a great man, man of the people, Nick is. And I've got a, before we go to a break, I've got more of a shout out rather than the story.
Nah, fair enough.
Considering we're talking about NPL, and obviously, you know, I've got a good relationship with Ryan Pachkowski, and he's obviously a Manc boy, and he's spent Christmas over in Manchester.
He got to go back to Manchester to just see family and friends.
Yeah, exactly. And he's he was really, really keen to get back. Obviously, it's been so long. He's one of the people that wasn't able to see his family. You know, he's putting it on his social media, saying that, you know, his family was so emotional to see him was great. But obviously we're both Manchester United fans, and my nephew actually picked Manchester United, and my sister didn't tell me anyway. He's wanted a Man United shirt with a player on the back. He wanted Ronaldo, but long story short, they didn't have that. But I've just gone, well, geez, I was just in Manchester. I could have got one if I knew. But anyway, I'm just like, wow, what do I do here? And, you know, and I'm just like, I don't want to pay like ridiculous shipping. I'm like, hang on, Ryan's over there at the moment. So I've just messaged him, and like, he's like, I'm going to the Wolves game, which we lost 1-0 and we played terribly. Yeah, so I'll sort it out for you. So
I know that you and Ryan on this show have had a few conversations about Manchester United and how truthful you are about the team right now.
Yeah, exactly right. So, so he's sorted me out for that. So big thanks to Ryan, and I think we'll probably catch up for a sneaky bev at the tennis. So big shout out to Ryan for sorting that out for me. Grateful, like, save me some shipping fees there.
Yeah,
so,
especially because it's like 20 to 30 bucks normally for shipping fees from England to Australia.
Yeah, it's even worse. You'd know as a basketball fan, Tom, it's even worse for NBA to Australia.
So 100%. Yeah, it's it's absolutely ballistic. It's absolutely nuts. That's all I'm going to say about that one. Other stuff that are happening too in the NPL 2 and NPL 3 as well, their fixtures have dropped as well for round one. Moreland Zebras, Paco, Friday, March 18th. So they normally do it 4 weeks after, as you know, Clem.
Four weeks
after the start of the NPL State League or the NPL start of the season there. Moreland City, Bulleen Lions, Brunswick City, Kingston City, Northcote City, North Geelong, Goulburn Valley, Manningham United, Lang Warren, Werribee City. Thoughts on that fixture for round one of the NPL 2?
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, I guess like as you said, like you've got Paco as well, who's probably keen to sort of get back up there. And obviously, you know, I'm pretty sort of at the heart level. I'm very sort of keen for them to get back up. They're such a good club to as well. And yeah, as you said, a lot of those teams, you know, will have one thing on their mind and getting up to the NPL top flight.
And then in the NPL 3, Springvale White Eagles, they start the same weekend as the NPL 2 competition. Springvale White Eagles, Box Hill, Ballarat City, Geelong.
Boxy!
Yep. Melbourne Victory, Whittlesea, North Sunshine, Preston. Preston did a fantastic job last season too. We saw them, they were this close as well, they're being promoted before the cancellation of the season. Speaking of teams that did really, really well, Doveton also were up there as well. Melbourne City, they're taking on. And then the team that Neil and I got to call their first ever win, which I will never forget, West United taking on Nutterwadding as well on the 20th of March at 3 p.m. too. And ooh, Neil and I got to be there for West United's first ever NPL 3 game against Box Hill United and the famous win that when they beat Box Hill 2-1 out at Wembley Park in Box Hill 2. And
easy drive for Tomo.
Very easy drive. I was going to say, because they had, at that point in time, like Mark Rudane was there before he ultimately got sacked as well. Steve Horvat was out there too. A few of the players too were there too. They just flown back after playing in the A-League about 24 to 48 hours prior. It was good to see them to be out there to support their second-tier club as well, the reserves club there.
Yeah, it's a great sort of initiative, and also just something for you at a personal level to be able to sort of see that one against Box Hill is huge. And so this game against Nutterwadding, you know, we'll see what happens there. Where's that
at City Vista Pavilion Sports Field, so it's not a Nutterwadding reserve, unfortunately, but it's a short walk for me normally, that ground. I do know that I think Michael Theo is still going to be kicking around at Nutterwadding City. I'm not too sure about FBK because he's a development coach at Victory at this point in time. But he was there and he loved going back to Nutterwadding to help the youngsters out, though.
Yeah. It's actually just on for here. This is a big, massive tangent. We've got a few tangents on this show already. But, like, yeah, I worked with a French Tunisian guy in Japan and, yeah, he knew FBK. Like, not personally, but because he's a massive football fan. So, yeah, I actually, when I was working over there, I linked us to our show with Fahid, and he was absolutely loving it.
Oh,
so,
beautiful.
Yeah, bit of a shout-out to Medhi.
And we had a very epic chat with FBK last year, too.
Yeah, he's, just being able to sort of talk to someone who just does not give a stuff about what he says, like, just tells her how it is. It's great.
Exactly. We'll take a short break now because Campbell Johnson to join us on the other side of this. This is Kickoff for your Sunday morning. Michael Thompson and Clem Tito with you. More on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Kickoff for your Sunday morning here on 88.3 Southern FM, our first show of 2022. Clem Tito, Michael Thompson with you, joining us. He's become a good friend of the show, 10 footballs, own Campbell Johnson, did a fantastic job alongside Max Burford and Grace Gill at a Cooper Stadium last night for the A-League Women's. Campbell, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Great to be on for the first show of the year, an absolute honour. Thanks for having me.
It was good. It was a pretty gutsy win for Melbourne City last night against Adelaide United. Adelaide had a few chances very, very late.
Yeah, Adelaide did start to spark up towards the end. Emily Condon really should have put one away, sent it right down the throat of Melissa Barbieri. But more so, Adelaide in the first half were running away with things, really dominating. And then second half, Melbourne City just came alive. Polisina managing to get the winner in about the 60th or 64th from memory. Well taken goal, good bit of dribbling, and that's what good sides do, really.
Campbell, welcome to the show for 2022. I guess Tom and I were talking about Matthew Lecky specifically before. I mean, yeah, I'd probably say he was probably man of the match from City's perspective last night. And Tom and I were just talking, you probably heard that probably hasn't been sort of what he's lived up to, what we expected him to live up to. How have you sort of seen him this season?
Yeah, he's been a bit quiet, a bit absent at points. Started okay, and I think he has such a high expectation, or we have such a high expectation of him. And especially guys, you're about the same age as me, and I remember World Cups in the past where he really shone and broke on, and he spent a lot of time in Germany and excelled. And we kind of saw him as probably one of the premier foreign, Australia's players playing in a foreign country. We probably saw him as, and coming back to the A-Leagues, we haven't really seen it. He hasn't really been as devastating as we perhaps hoped. I'm sure he'll be able to pull it back together. How he'll do that, we'll see.
I think for Matthew Lecky too, just trying to adapt himself to how he played over in Europe compared to how Australian played, because our tempo and the way we play our football here, it's a lot different to what Lecky's experienced close to a decade over in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cooper Stadium's a hard place to go to as well. Obviously, this form's been going on for quite a few games for Lecky specifically. But for Melbourne City, I think you guys will remember the last game they played at Cooper Stadium earlier this season. It was an absolute screamer of a last-minute goal from memory to win it, and a good game in the end. So it's a bit of a hard ground to play for. I know, especially in the women's, Adelaide United haven't lost there since 2012. So that's a big loss for them. For the men's, you're absolutely right, Matt Lecky, adapting to the Australian game. It is a better league harder league than a lot of people give credit for. A lot of people just expect that he'll come from Germany or the Netherlands, and we see all these players come back to Australia and we go, all right, they're going to dominate. Like Amini coming back as well, because he's in Cyprus and obviously Germany in the past. Whether he'll dominate or not, I'm not entirely sure. We'll see. The players have the quality. It's whether they can get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, well said, Campbell. And I think you're right. Like, people do, I guess, underestimate the A-League. And, you know, we expect players, not just Australian players, but players who've got European and Asian experience to come and dominate. And, you know, it is a bit of an underrated league from that perspective. And it's something we've quite seen, not consistently, but we have seen big players come here and, you know, probably haven't lived up to the expectation. Do you think that's probably more, that says more about sort of our league than it's actually, you know, as you were alluding to before, that it is actually a lot harder than what people think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I maybe even mentioned it the first time I was on this show of how we romanticize foreign players and imports. And, you know, a lot of the time we talk about coaches not getting them right. And I wonder if it's not a matter of getting them right, but a matter of the league is harder and we can't just expect someone who's been average in Serie A or playing Serie B. And I'm specifically thinking not Australians coming back, although it does apply, but other foreign players coming in. You know, we have seen players excel, but also I think we assume that they've played in Serie A, they'll be able to dominate the A-League, and it just doesn't happen. It probably happens less than we get the success stories, to be honest, in my opinion. So I think there's potentially too much importance placed on foreign imports. They can make a big difference, but more than not, they're disappointing. I mean, we've seen that with the Roar this season as well. Juan Lescano, I mean, he's a little bit of a laughing stock at the moment, the Argentine striker. And that's another one where I know the Roar have been scouting him for a long time, but it's just not hit at the moment for them.
We're speaking with Campbell Johnson from 10 Football and Powermat Plus. Campbell, we spoke about this last night as we were sort of conversing about what we want to chat about on the show today, but the curtain raiser discussion as well between the women's and the men's, and some of the positives and the negatives that you've taken away from the women playing before the men so far this season, because we've seen it quite a bit. From a Melbourne standpoint, Victory City, Adelaide United have done it too, and what are your thoughts on it?
Personally, I like it. From a fan's perspective, it's better. And obviously, my opinion and our opinion will be different to the players who are out there. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd love to see great turnouts at A-League women's matches. And I think the women's should be getting better turnouts. I think people just potentially aren't cottoning on to how good of a league it is, because it is a brilliant league. I think it's better because A, players generally will get to play on a better surface and at a better venue. So, for instance, Adelaide United last night, a doubleheader, they got to play at Cooper's Stadium, which is a beautiful surface, a beautiful ground compared to Marden Sports Complex, where they'd normally play if it wasn't a doubleheader, which is not as good. I think they've only got one toilet. The facilities aren't very good there in comparison. It can prevent injuries as well, playing on those better pitches, a better standard of game as well. And I guess one of the main things is, as you get towards the second half in that women's match, you then get people filtering in for the men's game, which is good, especially when they're a tight turnover like it was last night between the two games. So I'd love to see better turnouts at the A-League women's games, but curtain raisers, I think it's beneficial for the league and for the girls playing out there.
And Campbell, obviously, being a Queensland boy yourself, well, knowing Queensland, I guess, quite well. And just on that, talking about sort of the A-League women and the A-League men, you know, it's been specifically over there, they've struggled to get a few games for obvious reasons. Do you think it's time for maybe the league to, you know, sort of work something out? Because, you know, we're having sort of a big sort of uneven balance in terms of games played at the moment. I guess, how do you see that? Because going forward, it's a bit of a, yeah, I guess it's looking like a bit of a, yeah, a bit of an imbalance at the moment.
Yeah, look, it is a problem. I don't know what the solution is at the moment. And unfortunately, it will be the case that I think games will be played midweek. We may see one during this week up in Brisbane, potentially. So keep your eyes peeled on that. But yeah, whatever the solution is, I think it has to be midweek games, or whether we chuck some extra games onto the end of the season, a few catch-up rounds. It is hard. And what the interesting thing, at least with the, because the Raw men hadn't played in pretty much a month before their FFA Cup meeting during the week with Sydney, and then this weekend as well. My mates were even joking with me that, you know, the ladies must be immune, because there were plenty of ladies' games throughout the week. I mean, you had the odd case here and there, but generally the women were fine. The women's games were able to be played, and we've seen more men's games called off. What the reasoning for that is, I'm not sure. But, it's a really complex issue of how to get that balance back and how to catch up on those mixed fixtures. And for people who are getting certainly paid a lot more than I am.
I was going to say.
Well said.
I was going to say, in 2020 with the AFL season, we saw like a festival of football. Would we see potentially another festival of football looking towards maybe, say, like a game a day, and then we sort of do that for like, say, 2 or 3 weeks, and we potentially maybe move a couple of teams to, say, places that aren't overly infested with Omicron, for example, like I know Adelaide's not too bad at the moment. Brisbane's okay at this point in time, but sort of maybe take the teams out of Melbourne and Sydney, and then maybe play them out of Adelaide and Brisbane just for the time being, to have maybe a festival of football for 2 to 3 weeks to sort of make sure that we catch up those games so that we're track for potentially a finals that should be slated for where it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it. It's Big Bash style, and if Channel 10 are listening, I'd love more games up in Brisbane.
More opportunities for you to call as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. That wouldn't be too bad. I would love to see it, and you know, as someone who is from Victoria originally, and we obviously remember the festival of football that did happen in the AFL, that was brilliant. And we see what happens with the Big Bash as well. Problem is, with those midweek games is, you get no people to them, really, in comparison. And especially in Brisbane, when they play in Redcliffe, which is probably a 30 to 40-minute drive from the CBD, that makes it even harder, especially for Raw fans. And you can't really catch the train there. You can, but it'd probably be around 40 to an hour. So it's a little bit tricky. You kind of have to drive there. I mean, when these teams are playing interstate, they don't really get any revenue from match days as well. So it's a little bit tough on the teams, but at the end of the day, if it has to be done, it has to be done, and I'd love to see it. It's good down here in Adelaide. Coopers is a great venue. You could probably play some games at Adelaide Oval and Marden Sports Complex as well. There's a few different options. Brisbane, we'd love to see it as well, but I know firsthand COVID's a little bit how you're going up there at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit different here too in Victoria at the moment, isn't it, Clem?
Yeah, it's a bit different. It's funny that you sort of mentioned that festival football, like when this is a massive tangent here, but I remember when Carlos, when Jacob Townsend retired. And I was kind of like, well, it's nothing, you know, we won a flag, but it's nothing compared to playing for Essendon at an empty Metricon stadium on a Wednesday night against Victorian opposition. But yeah, that's, so I was going to say, it's a kind of depressing sort of memory that you bring up there, Tomo. But yeah, I guess as Campbell was saying, it has to be done,
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was a tough time. Personally, I loved the football being up in up in Queensland back then as a Bulldogs fan. It was great because I don't often get to see the Doggies play up in Queensland, especially in Brisbane. So it was good getting to see them a few times. And I know my housemate is a St Kilda fan, and we happened to go to a finals game, St Kilda versus the Dogs at the Gabba, and that was a sad one for myself a few years back, but I think we got the last laugh. But you're absolutely right. It would be great to see, and it's different, and there's less passion there. But for Brisbane at the moment, at least, it's not that different from how games are regularly for them. I mean, the active support's been pretty poor so far. Admittedly, there's only been one home game for them, but we'll see how that tracks in the coming weeks. I would like to see them play more home games. It's just that they keep getting called off, especially for the Roar.
Is it also maybe a performance issue too for the Brisbane Roar, which is why a lot of fans are not really flooding the stadiums and the arenas, not only in Brisbane, but also the Roar fans that live, you know, in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia. Like they really just don't want to waste their time and effort at the moment because the Brisbane Roar men's team in particular just haven't had the best season so far.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and it's a point that I typically don't agree with in terms of fans. Like, it is a valid argument for sure. I don't like when fans are like that. And it, from my experience, it does tend to be a pretty Brisbane centric thing. You see when the Reds, the rugby team up here, were not very good, they got horrible turnouts. And then as soon as they start coming good, fans constantly, same with the Brisbane Lions, no one went to them for years and they start being good again, packing the stadium. So they're pretty fair weather fans. When the Brisbane Roar were great, brilliant crowds at Suncorp, and now it's a bit, how are you going? And it's a little bit of a revolving door in a way, and it snowballs where bad performances lead to bad turnouts, and bad turnouts lead to the club not spending money, and it just keeps going around and around, and something's got to change in Brisbane. What that is, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and Cam. Well, I think we know the headline is Campbell Johnson snipes Brisbane Roar fans. Nah.
No. I love them. They're great.
how big of a difference do you think when Tommy Aldred will return for Brisbane Roar? I mean, they're really missing him at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are missing him. His leadership, especially, and he's one of the best central defenders in the league for sure. I've actually been really impressed. Haven't been able to see him in a few weeks, obviously, but Anton Milnarich, who's on loan from Sydney, he's been really good. Left-footed centre-back, big, tall. Spent some time at Dinamo Zagreb as well. He's been sensational for the Roar, especially on the left-hand side of the back three. Tommy Aldred coming back in will make a massive difference. I think the problem for them as well is, I mean, it's easy to say, but goals. We said this at the start of the season, where are they coming from? I know a lot of Roar fans put their hopes in Lescano, and we haven't really seen him play that much. I've liked Ivanovic, and it's hard to tell who's in favour in the squad as well. Alex Parsons has been frozen out at times, and he's been really impressive in previous years, especially last year. And there's certain players that are getting a run, some that aren't. They've had issues with COVID, with injuries, so hopefully Tom Aldred can come back for the Roar and hopefully turn things around.
And finally as well, Cameron, we thank you again for joining us this morning. You posted up on Twitter yesterday trying to find some good coffee spots in Adelaide. How'd you go with that one before the game last night?
Just go to SIBO.
It was good. We were looking for some good coffee spots. Managed to, because we flew in, got in at 10, went to Coffee in Common, right near Cooper Stadium. Beautiful spot, really groovy venue. was looking for one this morning. I just went a walk through the city. My God, it is a ghost town in Adelaide on a Sunday morning. There is no one here. But I went through the Rundle Mall and I managed to find a place. I think it was called Exchange. That was a good coffee spot. So managed to find some in the end, despite a little bit of trouble. But it was a good bit of back and forth with the club and some of the locals here in Adelaide. And I love my coffee, so it was good.
Oh, we both love our coffee in studio too. And thankfully as well, we had a pretty smooth drive into Brighton this morning. There was literally no one on the road. It was a ghost town, wasn't it, Clem?
Yeah, it was. It's been quite a smoother transition to Brighton. I'm not sound like a footballer doing an interview right now, but yeah, it was quite an easy drive. So yeah, I'm trying to think of like my favourite cafes in Brisbane. I was lucky enough to go there for a weekend last year, and I went to a few cafes there, but the names escape my mind.
Felix for Goodness in the city is quite good. Scott Neville part owns one in the city as well. I can't quite remember what it's called. I think it might be Anytime Coffee or something. It's quite cool down a little alleyway. There's a few good ones dotted around. Fonzie Abbott's good in Albion, Bowen Hills. So there's a few in there that are quite nice. A couple of nice breweries as well for after 5 p.m. So, yeah.
And I know Nathan Coe's got a cafe here in Melbourne as well, which Clem has alluded to couple times.
I have, yeah. Co and Co. Yeah, caught up with Archie there a few times, actually. Bloody Archie's the number one customer there. Funny enough, last time I went with him there. So I've pulled out my card and Archie's put out his card. He's doing the right thing, you know, giving us a shout.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you ask, like, oh, you sure? And then the barista is just like, yeah, well, his card's probably going to decline, so you'll have to jump in. But yeah, Co and Co, for anyone's listening, good cafe to go to, good vibes. There's one in Port Melbourne, one in Richmond. Well, so not Richmond, Cremorne. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for anyone who's listening, get down there.
Well, next time you're in Melbourne, Campbell, at least you know where you need to go when it comes to a turn. You can get served by the great Nathan Coe, the former Victory keeper.
Oh, I'll definitely be on my way there next time I'm down, hopefully soon.
Well, Campbell, thank you for joining us as always this morning. Really appreciate it. We can't wait to chat to you throughout the course of the season. And enjoy the last little bit of time in Adelaide before you fly back to Queensland.
Thank you very much. I think I'm going to head to the golf simulator, get a few hours in. So thank you very much, boys.
Thanks, Campbell.
It's always a good time. I appreciate it.
Campbell Johnson from Team Football joining us there. Does a fantastic job with the A-League women's and often the A-League men sometimes when he gets the call up. We'll take a short break as Tom Williams from Kick 360 will join us on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Kickoff, your Sunday morning first show 2022. Up and about. Fantastic, fantastic show alongside Campbell Johnson as always, because he's always very generous with his time, isn't he, Clem?
Grouse chat with Campbell. He's so generous, so succinct and eloquent in the way he talks. So it's very, very, always enjoy having him on.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we normally have Neil to enlighten us about what's coming up on Kick 360 normally during the course of the week. However, the great man himself has kind of got a few other things, but he'll be back next week. But we decided to get the master tactician of Kick 360. His strategy articles are fantastic. Everything he puts up on Twitter turns to gold. His name is Tom Williams from Kick 360. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning. That's a fantastic introduction there. I'm very, very flattered by that. Thank you.
How's your Christmas and New Year's first and foremost?
Very good. It was fantastic to see the family. It's actually my brother's birthday on New Year's as well, so we have quite a large family gathering on New Year's as well as Christmas. So it was good to be surrounded by family and eat a lot of food. And yeah, it was good fun.
I actually spoke to Neil and got to peel back the curtain here a little bit, Tommy, but I had no idea you were Greek until I saw a tweet about it. And then I asked Neil, I'm like, is Tom Greek? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because my dad's actually Aboriginal and my mum's Greek. So it's a bit of a weird mix, but it's good because it's nice to like celebrate different cultures and stuff. So most of the holidays, we eat Greek food and celebrate my mum's side of the family, which is cool.
Absolutely, and we spoke to Campbell in a great detail in regards to Adelaide United, again, sort of stealing points from another top team in Melbourne City. They've been really good the last couple of weeks of Adelaide United. What has sort of switched in them from the start of the season to the middle part of this season now, where they've been stealing points off the top sides?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think with Adelaide, if you look back to the start of the season, they were missing Craig Goodwin, who was such an important player for them last season. If you look last season, he wasn't there at the start of the season. I think he came about halfway through the season and really propelled Adelaide towards that shift to getting into the top six like they did at the end of the season. So I think when you miss someone with his quality in the final third, it makes it a lot more difficult. And then I guess they've had quite a lot of injuries as well. I think Jakobsen's been injured for a bit, and they're starting to get a bit more rhythm and consistency in their lineup the past couple of weeks. I also think that, like, from a tactical perspective, they're just a bit more solid defensively. Like, the past couple of weeks, Cavallo's, like, really good on the ball, but he's made a couple of mistakes defensively, and they've sort of replaced him with Kiddo, who's, I think, done a better job at left back. So I guess that's quite interesting with Adelaide, and they've obviously got this this new, like, 6'6" and a forward guy come in who scored last night. So that'll be interesting how they intend to use him with Goodwin's crossing ability as well.
And we also saw Brisbane Roar and Sydney FC play out a 1-1 draw too. Probably the best we've seen of Brisbane Roar so far this season. Well, what can they do now to sort of continue this? I know they haven't played for a couple of weeks. We spoke to Campbell about too, besides the FFA Cup game against Sydney FC and then the corresponding fixture itself in the A-League. What can Brisbane now do to sort of turn their season around a little bit? Because it was more of a victory for them last night than anything else.
Definitely, and I think Brisbane, there's quite a lot of untapped potential in that team, actually, because they've got quite a few really good players, in my opinion. I'm a big fan of Jay O'Shea in midfield.
Yep,
same. I
thought
he did pretty well last night as well. So I think where Brisbane sort of let themselves down is in that final third, because they're really good in the build-up phase, and they've got some, like, pretty good young defenders. You look at Anton Mlinarić. He didn't play last night. He's on loan from Sydney, but he's done quite a good job so far this season. And I think if Brisbane, like, because they've had a lot of games postponed, so hopefully they can start playing these games, get a bit of rhythm going, and then get a bit of more polish in the final third. Because this guy Lescano, he hasn't really played too much yet, so we don't really know what to expect from him. They've got Cyrus Demme, who's been okay, but it's a pretty tough job for him to be up there trying to shoulder the responsibility in attack. So I think if they can do a better job of trying to control games with, like, Akbari, Steinman and O'Shea in midfield, then they'll give themselves a better chance of getting more points, because I don't think that their position on the table is representative of the quality in their team, to be honest. I think they really should be doing a bit better, but I guess in the coming weeks, with more continuity, then we could see that reflected in the table.
Absolutely. And Tommy, really quickly before we let you go, what's coming up in Q360 this week?
Yeah, I guess we'll probably have a couple more interviews. We'll probably have some coverage of games, I'm sure. So on my end, I'll probably write a tactical article of some description. But myself and Jack George are actually compiling a sort of tactical framework for the Socceroos in the upcoming World Cup qualifiers, because it looks like the squad's going to get named pretty soon. So myself and Jack George love coming together and doing our tactical stuff. So I'd recommend everyone just watch out for that and stay tuned, because it's an article that we've really enjoyed discussing and we're about to prepare in the coming days. So that'll be one to look out for, I'm sure.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. We'll probably have you back on throughout the course of the season towards the latter part of the A-League and then the NPL season itself. But have a good morning and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks so much. Great having you. Great being on. Thank you.
Tom Williams from Kick360 joining us too. You can actually listen to our replay show at 2 p.m. today due to the power outage that affected our transmission on 88.3 Southern FM. Clem, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Tomo.
And we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Pretty excited for it.
Coming up next is the Secret Cricket Show with Mark Misson and Wayne the Bug Fuller.